Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of spreading revival. Now, your host, T.S. Wright. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, please hit that follow and subscribe button and give us a quick like. And we so much appreciate you guys being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Well, today we have a special guest with us. And of course, this one's going to be a lot of fun for me. We are in the midst of college football. Mm-hmm. And this guy that we've got on the show today played college football. So Andrew K. Johnston was not just a former college football player and a recruit, but this guy has, he loves to write, okay? And the Lord has called him to do so. And here in a minute, we're going to bring him on, and he's going to talk about his testimony, and he's going to give you some insight into his books and his ministry and things that he's done. So without further ado, help me welcome Andrew K. Johnston to the show. Andrew, it's great to have you here.
Tia, super excited to be here. Thanks for having me on, man, and really excited just to talk with you.
All right. Well, this is going to be a lot of fun. From a Razorback fan and an Aggie fan, you know, we're gonna have to do a separate episode on that, college football.
Yeah, no bad blood right now.
Exactly. No, we don't do that. We're brothers. Hey, we're brothers in Christ, so that's going to be, amen. We're going to be solid there. But anyway, Andrew, what I want you to do is just talk about your journey and your testimony to help our listeners just really get a feel for your story. I just want to give you the floor and you just take it away.
Oh, man. Thank you, T.S. Yeah, I'll give you the two to three minute version. So, you know, I'm the oldest of four. I grew up in a really, really loving home, a dad and a mom who was really blessed to be present. My dad coached in the NFL for about 30 years, kind of alluding to my bride and groom playing at A&M. And, you know, along the way was just taught many of the things that as a parent, we want to teach our kids, you know, from my parents about the kingdom of God, about having a personal relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And, you know, along the way, as I started getting really good in football, as I started, you know, maturing a little bit, I would say I personally fell off the path during that time. You know, I would probably say football slowly became an idol for me. Some of it in ignorance and some of it just in willing choice. And I remember there was a awesome turning point in my life in college. And I'm going to mention, you know, my dad in this as well. But, you know, growing up, I knew all the things to do, even though we moved everywhere because of my dad's occupation. I would say I was a lone wolf because of that. I was an introvert at that time. But my freshman year, going into my sophomore year at A&M, I fractured my L3 and L4, surprisingly playing with Von Miller. So I was a scout team running back on a play, and
Oh, wow.
For lack of better terms, he just kind of wiped me out, man.
Wow. So he's done that to one or two players I've witnessed over the years watching him play.
Yeah, he's a fun guy, man. I was rolling scout team with Ryan Tannehill when I was the running back at that time. And I gave him a good lick, you know, kind of sent him flying, and then he returned the favor, except it came with a little bit more damage. But all that to say, you know, funny hindsight 2020, but what that did is it actually ended my collegiate career as an athlete. So I remember being in there with the doctors, and for a football player, they were saying, hey, you know, you can't lift, you can't run for years. At least one minimum in plural. And that's typically a death sentence to a football athlete. You know, you maintain right. your body, you train. And so very unemotional in the moment. But I remember going to my truck and closing the door and just breaking down, weeping. And I did the only thing I knew what to do. I called my dad. And I remember I had my dad on the phone. And what came out of my mouth, man, was stuff I didn't even think was inside of me. I was like apologizing to him how I couldn't play football, how I couldn't make him proud, how, you know, this thing that I grew up training for with you
sure.
is gone now, you know? And I think that's why I attribute it to like idolism, you know, that was unbeknownst to me growing up. And, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke through my dad in a moment. And I just felt like years of, you know, enslavement to sin, certain sins, years of following idolatry of football were just completely gone in a moment through the Lord speaking through my dad. And he just Amen. Said, Cody, you are my son, and my love for you has never been tied to you playing football. Amen. And that there was unknown lies I were believing, that I was believing rather. And, you know, from that journey, it really was just a pivot. It was what I call the mercy arrow of God, like ending something I was very talented at and good at and leading me into a path of a personal relationship with God. I started getting plugged in the community. I started becoming an extrovert as someone that was just, you know, an introvert. And I just really felt like there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit, so to speak, or however you know, we want to talk about that. There was a transformative work of God in my heart that started exuding into my works and my actions and changing the way I think. And so I do believe there was some repentance in there along the way. And so that's kind of led me to where I'm at now, man. Dad of four kiddos, have an awesome, you know, forever wife. And we are loving, just taking it day by day and living for Jesus.
So, amen. 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 So,
but
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to attribute it, kind of bring it full circle to the authorship. So, you know, right now as something I do in addition to my full-time job, I'm a children's author, and something that the Lord, you know, has put on my heart that I know I've had skills from, but I really don't feel like they were unlocked until football was stripped from me and really walking a personal relationship with God and being in his word, was this burden of not only my kids, but the next subsequent generations to come as we await the return of the Lord. And that's where this idea, you know, sprung up from me. I've made children's stories up for a long time. I've been working on a novel for years that's not children's related. And I just feel like there was permission from God to finally start releasing these out to the public and start creating what I call wholesome fiction for Amen. Children to see the kingdom of God through another lens that isn't just in the Bible. Like obviously that's right. our preeminent infallible word of God. That will always be the foundation. But really just have this passion of creating stories that showcase the kingdom and its virtues unto generations, not just the next one, but hopefully that can outlive myself.
Amen.
For kids and generations to come. So,
you know, and I think that's really cool because narrative speaks well to kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, fact-based information for an adult is great because that's kind of what we feed on and all that stuff. And narrative works good with adults too, but for children, narrative is how they connect much more intimately than if you just have them read the Bible, because it's just not, their brain isn't there. They're more, you speak it to them, you give them stories out of the Bible, that sort of thing really, really speaks to them better than, you know, when they're that age, than it does just fact-based information, you know, because they don't relate to the world like that yet. They're just, you know, their brain just isn't developed like that. So being somebody who teaches and has taught psychology for years and has I have a master's degree in performance psychology. Wow. You know, so you learn a lot about developmental psychology in doing that. Their brain just isn't developed for that. So I applaud you for tackling this and for letting the Lord use you to be able to speak to children in this way and bring God's message along through narrative. So I think that's really cool. So what I'd like to do right now is, you know, the fictional kingdom and how stories shape a child's faith. I mean, you know, give us a feel, kind of a sense of what your books, some of the topics your books talks about, and, you know, the way you use biblical things and themes in the narratives that you create and the stories that you tell.
Oh, thank you, man. Absolutely. I'll speak a little bit just about the books and then a little bit about the intent of why I'm writing them and, you know, what sure. I'm hoping they can do for children. But so the books, I don't know the videos on here, but I have them right here. It's technically a animal fiction based book for children ages or grades 1 through 4. And believe it or not, it centers around two animals that I had for pets during the COVID lockdown. We had a dog that pretty much adopted us. We lived out in the sticks of Texas, you know, the boonies. I was taking care of my parents' farm while my dad was coaching in the NFL. And we had this Great Pyrenees that just came and adopted us and just stayed with us. And I had little kids at the time. And he kind of assumed this role of like, I must protect these kids. And so he just followed us around everywhere. I also was raising bobwhite quail. And so, you know, the adventures of Bo and Mr. Quillery, it follows the story of a bobwhite quail named Mr. Quillery, who was actually the name of one of the quails that I had as a pet. And then Bo, which is the real name of the dog.
Quail doesn't need to be on my eating table.
Oh, you don't need to be on the, no, man. He's too smart for that if you read the
book. Gotcha. All right. Good. Because I do like quail. It's really, I think it's tasty. But we'll leave him alone so today.
it's so good. And I won't rabbit trail into that. But these are short stories. So if you're, you know, a parent listening to this, think of The Magic Treehouse. Think of The Secret of the Hidden Scrolls. These are some books out on the market right now that are early chapter books, not middle grade books or picture books. But I'm creating a 12-book series that can be a bridge for kids graduating from picture books to be that playground, so to speak, to develop a righteous imagination as they move onto middle grade in this really crucial age at their end. And so so that's just a brief overview. Every journey is distinct in itself. Every book is governed by either a fruit of the Holy Spirit or an aspect of the kingdom of God or a characteristic we find biblically in the Father. And it's very subtle. It's not called out per se, like verbatim, but typically for a believer reading this, you'll be able to catch the cues through the plot and the narrative immersion that happens in these journeys. So the first book, Self-Control, is one of those. The second book is about faithfulness. And we get to showcase to kids what these virtues and aspects of the kingdom are like through their dialogue, through the action of these heroes making sacrificial decisions, all in the context of age appropriateness to the grades I alluded earlier. But, you know, man,
Chronicles of Narnia.
You know, man, you could kind of liken it. If you're a fan of Hank the Cowdog, Narnia, you know, The Green Ember, these books are for you. But, so that's kind of what it's about. But the heart behind it, it really alludes to biblical precedents that I'm really passionate about. Like, I think we might agree on this, TS, together. But, like, the idea that stories are, like, a powerful tool for teaching, going to what you said earlier, you know, it isn't new. In fact, it's like a practice as we read the Bible that was that's at the very heart of the Christian faith.
And amen.
Jesus is so many things, and we could spend this whole podcast just glorifying him and talking about him. But one thing I love that he was that I don't think a lot of people see all the time is how he was a masterful storyteller.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, him fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 6, I believe it's 9 through 10, when he, you know, spoke it in Matthew 13, 13 through 15 specifically. Like, yep. He's using parables, which are just simple short stories, to convey the profound truths of the kingdom of heaven, the depravity of men, and the intent of the Father, and the intent of what he wanted to do. And I just love that as biblically we look at parables, we can see, and this is my opinion, so y'all feel free to do what you want with this, but I really believe that parables serve a dual purpose, in the sense that they not only like revealed the truth to those with a receptive heart, but it also like it was obscured from those who weren't ready to receive it, like when Jesus yeah. spoke to the masses. And what a lot of children authors, hopefully for us as Christian children authors, should long for is that we have an opportunity very similar to how Jesus, and maybe it's not a parable, right? Maybe it's a fictional story showcasing the kingdom of God through fiction. We have this opportunity to give children something that can do something very similar to what the parables were when Jesus spoke them to the crowds. Obviously tailored to children in my, you know, vocation here. So, you know, stories to me, they never really were a bonus for Jesus. They were like a central vehicle for him communicating divine truth to the people of that day and age. And it's just an honor as a children authors that we can partner in that as well in our Amen. Own way and form. So.
Amen. Amen. So, there was one, I saw it when just looking at your notes and, you know, you kind of talking about the parables and stuff, the heavenly imagery and the symbolic reality. I was kind of just scouring through that real quick and looking at some of that stuff, just, you know, things such as that are in the book of Revelation, Daniel, Jeremiah, mm-hmm. you know, the wheels floating above the thrones, which those are basically are the type of angels. Those are angels, basically. You know, people think angels just look like a person and they're just bigger with wings. That's not always true. It depends on what kind of angels you're talking about. You know, so some of these angels are like wheels with eyes all over them and sure. wings. And I mean, they're, you know, I've heard it described before. And just from what I've read and really what I've grasped, I mean, if an angel physically just came down and appeared on Earth, half the people would die.
Yeah, I was about to say, I might just...
And the other half would just fall on their knees in mm-hmm. total fear, kind of like what the Israelites did at the base of the mountain when Moses, you know, when they were at Mount yes. Sinai. So that's pretty much what it would be like if these angels started coming down, which is why I tell people that's why God doesn't send them all down here in the physical form. I mean, you might as well just draw the line in the sand and Jesus come back and be done with it, because it would be over. You know, it's just... We can't handle the holiness of God and the holiness yes. of his beings that are surrounding him. We couldn't handle that in our physical selves. So I throw all that in there, but talk about how you bring that out in the books, you know, that heavenly imagery, the symbolic reality. You know, I've had some people on here before. We've talked about the physical realm and the spiritual realm and some mm-hmm. of those pieces, and that sometimes we need to step away from the physical realm and realize that the spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm, because the physical realm is just yes. temporary. So go ahead. I'm just take it away from there.
No, I think that's a fantastic question, man. I just love how the Bible, it's full of those narratives that defy our physical reality. And it really is something that I hope as we grow and mature in the faith, that all believers, we can just open our eyes to the spiritual reality of what's going on. And
amen.
And so fiction is a way that obviously I don't think I can say would ever do that. It would be the sole source of making that occur in someone. But in essence, when we look at the Bible, you know, Revelation, another example is like, hey, I saw a lamb that was standing before the throne as if it was slain. It had seven eyes, seven horns, and lots of symbolic nature into there. But many people can even attribute that to fantastical elements that authors in today's day and age, whether they believe in God or not, they bring into the realm of fiction. And so in some ways, to answer your question, T.S., like, I believe every author, you know, we're made in the image of God, even for those people that don't believe in him. And some of us might have more of a creative unction or gifting on us that we can partner with God. But I believe everyone has it. And especially when the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, you know, I might not be creating fantastical imagery like dragons in my book. You know, mine is much more based in like magical realism, things sure. that are more logical to understand. But there's, if the Holy Spirit is inside of us, there is a longing for that Amen. He just grows within us. And so in little kids, you know, who knows when they accept the Lord into their heart or, you know, faith is activated in them. We can say it's this moment, but only God is the true judge. You know, we can look at the fruit, we can look at the works to understand that. But I try to mimic that symbolicism. And I try to mimic the metaphors and also the examples in my book. And so, you know, that could be in fantastical characters, you know, animals that are talking that might be acting more like humans, but they're feeling these intense desires, their internal motivations and external motivations mimic struggles and moral dilemmas that people go through day by day. And so it's using those concepts, which I think have some similarities in them, but bringing out the narrative immersion that we were talking about earlier to graft someone into the story to where that's when, and we can go to science to look at this. A lot of neurological phenomenons are happening that bridge not only empathy, pro-social behavior in children, but it lets them feel like they're acting it out as if they're there. Right. And so I would say those are things the Holy Spirit uses if presented to him, like as a sacrifice, you know, so to speak, just using that language. And so when a child is reading this and they see a hero standing up for what's right, even when it's hard, even when it's going to cost them something and a negative impact, when they are faithful to their word, because this is a promise that I made to someone and I will not break the promise or the oath that I gave. Those are things that I think not only a child they can read about in the Bible and hear, but they can just see through the world of fiction, you know, kind of going back to the heavenly imagery and symbolic reality, but through the vehicle of fantasy, which is a subgenre of fiction, and through the vehicle of fiction. And it's just so surprising how powerful that actually is. And building a righteous imagination, like a playground just for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't need it. He can do whatever he wants, but he uses stuff like this. And you know, we see that through the lives of C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien, you know, Christians that really brought this impetus of being the forefathers, I would say modern day fiction, that secular society just eats up and half of them don't even know. Like a lot of people don't know that Tolkien in his world grafted the concept of providence in yep. it. Like if you actually read between the lines, and C.S. Lewis is a little bit more overt in his fictional writings.
Yes.
But when we just look at the impact of what that has done, how they utilize different concepts that might piggyback off like examples of heavenly imagery, symbolic reality, even if they're different in showcasing it, it's just set much of the world on fire. And nowadays, fictional and fantasy authors, they aspire to these Christian forefathers that God gifted to be able Amen. To do that. And so that's kind of the heart and what I'm trying to do in my book series to draw out as well through fiction.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. I tell you what, I think this type of, I'll just say this to you guys in the audience here that they're listening, this type of writing, if you have children, or you got grandchildren, you really need to look into this type of writing, because this type of writing can really communicate truths, spiritual truths that, yes. that we want to start implanting in children. You know, we need them to understand that there are spiritual realities and spiritual truths that we want them to start being able to take grasp of those concepts. And these type of books are communicating in a way that they can understand. You know, as an adult, us explaining it to a child is not probably, you can explain it, but they're not going to fully grasp it. And just trust me, studying human development like I have over the years and all that stuff, if you look at just brain research and the development of their brain can't, they can't draw those pictures in their mind of those type of fact-based things, but through narrative, they can. Through narrative. So I'm just communicating to you listeners to, you know, hone in on these type of things. Don't just shut it off like, oh, it's about children's books. No, you have children, you have grandchildren. They remember this. You are the ones passing the legacy onto them. This is a big deal. It really is a big deal. And I think paying attention to the type of books that are in their hands, making sure they have the right kind of concepts and themes that we want our children grasping, especially in a world that is teaching like 500 different moral truths. And so I believe this communicates. I love that you're doing this because it's such a need that I think can be overlooked in the Christian community. It truly can. And making sure that children get that. And I'm going to just let you take it from there.
No, I mean, thank you for that. And I'm in complete agreement with you, obviously. But, you know, something that's alarming to me, and as parents, obviously, we want to use wisdom in everything, right? Like, not every book our child has is good, or not every hero in a book is that type of individual we want our children to build an emotional bond with that happens as they read fiction. And, you know, It kind of merges to me, like how fiction shapes us. And then maybe I'll just speak to some of the neurological things that are happening just for the audience if they're unaware.
Sure.
This is how it works. But so we've already talked about like moral imagination, how when we read wholesome fiction, it can empower and be a supplemental resource to what our children are learning from watching our parents and in the Bible. You know, using Narnia as an example, when I have a kid that I've been training, let's say there's just Joshmo or someone and their wife, they're raising a kid. They're teaching him the aspects of the kingdom and Jesus. When I give that kid the Chronicles of Narnia, like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when they see those virtues like courage, sacrifice, and love through the characters, what's really happening in that child, to what you were saying, T.S., is they're participating in a dress rehearsal for those real moral dilemmas they're going to face later on in lives. And that's how fiction, that I'm going to say it's wholesome fiction, can build empathy and compassion just from a high level. When that child undergoes narrative immersion and steps in the shoes, they begin to understand different perspectives and feelings that are not their own in a safe environment in the realm of their imagination. And those things lay crucial foundations, or they can be supplemental things to the crucial foundations we have as believers, the biblical call to love our neighbor as ourself, to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, the Shema, as it was in the Old Testament, and to care for those who might be marginalized or the poor. And so, you know, what's happening is when a kid feels that narrative, they're in it, like I'm invested in the story. I like this character, like, oh, it's just fun and humorous. The left temporal cortex in that child, and this goes to what you were saying, T.S., that handles language reception. It shows heightened and lasting activity, and it continues for days. Scientifically, it's been proven, even when that kid puts the book down. And so it's working like a form of muscle memory. You know, the mirror neuron system that's in the body, it's firing. And that's what's responsible for making individuals feel like they're experiencing the events in a book themselves, along with the character, along with the fiction, the lore, you know, the world that they're building. And that's what's kind of known as the immersed, like, experiencer framework, the different modes of immersion that happens at museums that parks use and that we as authors use when we're trying to grasp someone into this fictional world, this fantastical world that's not real, but it feels like it is. Yes. And so when someone steps foot in it, they're like, wow. Oh, yeah. I mean, just think about Star Wars.
I was just thinking the same thing. Star Wars. I mean, George Lucas is a genius doing this.
Exactly. And there's many more that are. And,
oh, yeah.
And sadly, not all of them love the Lord. But
no,
it's just crazy. I wish they did, too. But, you know, man, I guess just to speak on this, this will be the last, like, I guess, scientific thing I say. I don't know what our time limit is, but the mirror neuron system, that is the crucial component for human social interaction and is linked to several cognitive functions in kids that are growing and adults as we keep maturing. But obviously, there's a higher propensity for it to grow in children because they're still developing at a rapid rate. But action understanding that happens in the MNS system, that is the fundamental function of the mirror neuron system firing. And because these neurons are firing in the same way that they're experiencing through a narrative, as if it is happening in real life,
yeah,
that is what is simulating that observed action internally. And that process, you know, it can transform the visual observation, and this is key, into knowledge.
Amen.
Into a child. And that is what is helping them allow to understand what others are doing and furthermore, why they are doing it.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I'll stop there, but there's just so much more to unpack from a neurological phenomenon when we have wholesome fiction that is exuding the kingdom of God, that's showcasing Amen. To them these items subtly or overtly. But I like the subtle past just because sometimes they don't even know it's happening, and
yeah.
they might get old one day and be like, oh, that's what that was. I remember that story in the book years ago I read. This might be a middle school child. Oh, I understand what the pastor's saying. Like, I saw that in this fiction book. And even though it might not have happened to me in real life yet.
So. Amen. Amen. So, Andrew, this has been great. And I honestly, we could go on for 3 more hours.
We could, man.
I mean, you know, and we could throw some college football in here as well.
Oh, amen.
You know, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we're doing this recording. And, of course, this will come out in a week or so. But for you guys knowing this, we're doing this opening football week, college football weekend, so we're doing this recording here on Labor Day. But I just want to say it's been great having you on the show. And, you know, to our audience, we just want to thank you for being a part of this and being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. So, but Andrew, before we get off of here, I want you to share, if somebody wants to get a hold of your books, wants to go to find out more about you, where can they do that?
Yeah, I would say there's 3 places. So if you want to get the books outright, you can go to Amazon or Ingram Spark and just type in The Adventures of Bo and Mr. Quillery, and it will be the first thing that pops up. The first book is called The Lost Chick. The second one is The Mystery of the Broken Towers. And I'm creating 9 other books to go along this series. So it's going to be a longer series. Each one is about like anywhere from 100 to 180 pages, but each page contains illustrations with it. So that's how you can get the book. If you want to get the audiobook for free, because I'm a narrator as well on the side, you can join my email list and get the first book for free. You can go to my website, andrewkjohnston.com, sign up for the Faith and Fantasy Adventure Pack, and get free Yodo templates if there's parents here that use that audiobook device, and just listen to it for free and get them into the story. So
awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. We're obviously going to include the places where they can go in the show notes and all the good stuff. And, you know, in wrapping up, I just want to say that again, and you guys have, this isn't the first time I've had children's authors on the show. This is an important topic. And I would say how our children are being fed information matters, and what Yes. they're being fed matters. And for you as parents and grandparents and people, if you're working with children, to really pay attention to this, because we want to be communicating the truths of the kingdom of God and making sure that they're getting the right messages. So I just want to say this. Thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, give us a like. And we just want to make sure that we continue to bring that great content to you guys as we always do. On behalf of myself and Andrew, I am T.S. Wright. Go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Hello, everyone. This is T.S. Wright. I just want to give a big shout out, and we're going to be doing this every week, but I want to give a big shout out to all the folks in Dublin, Ohio, as we have a big following there and a lot of people that are downloading our show and listening to it. And we just not only pray for you guys, but we want to continue to thank you for the support and help us in helping us spread the show, the information, and the just getting other people to come onto the show and listen and being able to participate with our community here with both the Kingdom Crossroads and the God Center Concept podcast. So again, big shout out to Dublin, Ohio, and we're going to keep honoring different areas that give us a lot of support each week. And so this week is going to be about Dublin, Ohio here on the Kingdom Crossroads. And of course, over on the God Center Concept, we are also doing the same thing. So we've got areas that we're honoring there each week. But what we want to say is this, is that eventually with your support and your help, our goal is to eventually come to your area and be able to do a show right there in Dublin, Ohio, and have people that are listening to the show come up, give testimony, do those type of things. So we are looking to expand the show in a lot of different ways, and getting people on the show is from these different areas is definitely something that we are looking to do. So, feel free to go to our website at www.godcenterconcept.com. Anything you give, we're going to use with wisdom. And also you can send us an email, and you can email me at tswright@ghnglobal.net. Thank you so much for your support. And we look forward to eventually being able to come to Dublin, Ohio and preach the gospel and be able to talk to the people that are giving us support there. Thank you so much.